got you. Just give me just. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Lost connection there, but we have gathered it back in. Just turned around to check, and there it is. It's dropped. But still with us, State Representative Susan DuBose joined us from down in Orange Beach today. But she represents area north, or just north, southeast of Birmingham and Shelby County. Representative, we were talking, and to kind of cut to the chase here, we'll just kind of regather it back in. The discussion we were having about we saw what happened at the Olympic boxing yesterday with this Italian female boxer and this, I don't know, whatever you want to call him, her, from Algeria, and that this becomes this now, despite what your critics, this is a big issue for you and you face the criticism, but now we have seen this happen. And
right.
This is something that maybe it's happening, seems like it's happening far, far away, but it is now something going on here just in front of us. And I think a lot of people paying attention to it. So now it's not just this female swimmer, Riley Gaines thing anymore that people seem to, oh, well, that happened whenever. But now this is starting to occur a lot more.
Right. And I mean, this Olympic incident with that boxer that honestly she had to quit 46 seconds into the competition, it's making our case for us. Obviously, men and women are different. They are biologically different. And that's why I passed the legislation in the state of Alabama that protects athletes from grade K through higher education that says you compete according to your biological sex, your sex at birth based on your reproduction organs. Because we know that no matter how many hormones you take or what parts of your body you cut off or add on, you know, men are going to be physically different, stronger. They have, you know, stronger cardiovascular capacity, muscle strength, and just every way. It's just common sense, honestly. So this has brought it to a world stage. We've known it's been going on in our country because we've heard from Riley Gaines. We heard from the a volleyball player, a high school volleyball player that was hit in the head by a transgender athlete playing on a women's team and knocked her out unconscious, and now she has partial paralysis as a result of that. So it's going on. We have protected our athletes in Alabama, but the problem now is that the Biden administration, through an egregious act of bureaucracy in the Department of Education, wants to change our Title IX laws so that sex will include gender identity, which defeats the whole purpose of Title IX when it was enacted back in 1972 to protect young women in education. And, you know, to say that there can be no discrimination on the basis of sex. If you change the meaning of sex to include gender identity, then you're not protecting women anymore.
Well, and here's the thing. Now, if the Olympics were in Alabama, obviously we would not have this, right? Like, this would not have been.
Well, we wouldn't have it today, but I mean, if Alabama, if the Biden administration is successful in continuing in implementing this rule that's supposed to go into effect August 1, that it could affect every K through, it'll could affect every women. In our whole nation, honestly. Of course, we're suing against that, right? So Attorney General Marshall has so far successfully been able to stop that, and so have 21 other states. But
yeah,
you're right, the Olympics, that's a whole different level in the Olympics. I mean, that is not included in the Title IX issue at all. But it all ties it together. It's affecting all of our women at all ages.
What is it? I mean, like, why and I'm asking you to get inside the mind of these folks, but like, what is the, why is it just, why is this such a virtue now with the left and wanting to make this a thing?
You're right. It's just not even common sense. It's gotten to the point. It's getting more and more difficult for anybody, no matter how they identify, to justify this. And I mean, I've talked to many gay folks that don't agree with it. I mean, this is not something that the whole LGBTQ community agrees with. I think it's something that's divisive even within the LGBTQ community. Because they, I mean, obviously males and females are different. Everybody that has a grain of common sense can see that. Yeah, why this has become the big virtue signaling issue, it's, you know, I could throw out lots of theories and I can't really say for sure what it is, but it's harmful. It's harmful to our communities. It's harmful to our nation. It, you know, maybe it's part of somebody's big plan to destroy the American family. Maybe it's part of somebody's, you know, there's all sorts of reasons out there, but it's just, honestly, you've just gone too far in trying to protect a class of people. It's preposterous.
Yeah. I don't understand it. And like you said, I mean, like if you're LGBTQ lifestyle and you really want to make strides in that arena, for whatever you see as a, you know, an unfair disadvantage or whatever, like this puzzle piece, having the Algerian boxer beat up the female Italian boxer, is not doing you any favors. It really,
that is not the issue what you want to die on. You do not want to hang your hat on this issue because it makes no sense. And they're proving our case for us. We've always said we just want a level playing field for women. It's actually a safe and level playing field. It's more than fairness. It's safety. And that they are proving our case for us. And I hate it that these women are being used and being taken advantage. And even the athlete that, you know, had to drop out of the flight, she still wouldn't come out and say that this is wrong, probably for fear of repercussion or being, you know, banned from her sport or something, being canceled. I mean, people's fear of being canceled and being called some sort of bigot, honestly, it supersedes just common sense sometimes. And we just need people to come up and say, look, this is not right. It's just plain not right. And I'm going to say on behalf of these women, we need dads to stand up and speak on behalf of all of our women. I mean, this is just, you know, we need everybody to stand up and be brave and say, this ain't right.
Well, is it this part of the problem that a lot of people are a little afraid to get out there on? I mean, there's such a pressure campaign. And I mean, it comes from the media, it comes from a bunch of different places. But the problem with taking something like this on, it just, for a lot of people, it's just not worth the risk. I don't know what I'm sure it's different in the Alabama State House, but maybe you've encountered this kind of trying to lead the charge here where you hear, like, I'm on your side here, but I don't need to be out in front on this one.
And that's, yeah, I hear that all the time. We're glad you're doing it. We agree with what you're doing it. You know, I won't take this phone call from the press, but hey, Susan DeBose will talk to you. And look, I'm proud to take that stand. But yeah, I have gotten attacked simply because I'm trying to protect women athletes. I've been called every name in the book. I mean, they jump from me protecting women to, you know, I'm the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm the, I'm the church lady. Yeah, I'm racist. How this comes into being racist, I can't even figure that out. I'm homophobic. Misogynistic. I don't know. Name all those names. I've been called every single one of them because I simply want to protect women. And that's fine. Call me all those names. I know it's not true. I'm happy to defend where I stand, and I need more people standing up and just saying what's right. But, you know, I'll tell you what. The people in Alabama really are on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. This is bipartisan agreement that this is just not right. We're lucky in our state. People do agree on this issue. Everybody chooses to fight it in their own way. But when it comes, you know, hey, if you're going to take a poll, this poll, I'm telling you, 90% of Alabamians do not want women athletes playing against trans women. They do not. This poll is very high on both sides of the aisle. You know, different people have different levels of which they can support it. But nationwide, there's crazy going on. I mean, Kamala Harris, her comments regarding this are extremely disturbing, very disturbing. I shudder to think what will happen if she gets elected president. It's very concerning to me.
Well, she's one of those, and this is just a general observation. I don't know if she's necessarily for or against it. The same thing for Democrat politicians is to take the whatever you decide you want to be when you wake up. That's what you are, and we're a loving, caring country. But she's obviously not going to be out front on this at all. But I do think you're right. I mean, she'll, you know, a lot of these, especially these Democrat politicians, these bureaucrats, are just going to just shrug this off and just, you know, let your freak flag fly, whatever you want to be, and then.
Well, these bureaucrats are going further than that. They are doing harmful things. I mean, what's going on with Title IX and the Department of Education is harmful. They have totally 1,500 page ruling that rewrites Title IX. I mean, that's dangerous, and that's the Biden administration. It will be carried on by Kamala Harris's administration, should she be elected. And it's scary.
Joined by State Representative Susan DuBose here on the program. Let's get to some other things real quick. We got you for several more minutes here. The library fight, the whole public library service, and it looks like they're going through some internal turmoil there, but I mean, this still is becoming an issue, and it's also this, like, some of these libraries are acting like these are just some very onerous restrictions that have been placed upon them to separate the books that I think most parents would object to and put them in a different part of the library. I mean, they're not going along with what you guys would like to see very willingly, are they?
Well, let me say this. The APLS board, the state library board, has adopted some new rulings recommended by Governor Ivey, which I completely agree with. They are very reasonable, and they don't tell local libraries how to do this. They just say, the rules just simply say, you know, children's sections need to have books that are appropriate for minors. I mean, that's kind of common sense. There's another ruling in there that suggests that you have library cards according to your age. So if you're 18 or under, you can check out books in this section. If you're over 18, you can check out any book. If you have parental permission and you're under 18, you can check out any book. So it's just kind of common sense guidelines. I think there may be some libraries that are making a bigger to-do over it than in reality. But look, the board has passed the guidelines. I think they're reasonable. If local boards want to receive state aid, then they need to adopt them. And that needs to be done by October 15th of 2024, because that's when the first quarter of state aid will be sent out to the local library. If they don't want to comply or they're not ready to do it, then don't comply and you won't get state aid. And maybe you don't need the state aid. Maybe you don't care about it. But it's going to be a local decision in every single case how the local boards implement it or if they implement it. So I think that really I don't see an issue. The rules are there. You can follow them. You can interpret them. You can implement them or not. And if you don't, then you simply just don't get the state aid at your choice.
Tell me this, though. How much, I mean, state aid, I mean, obviously it varies, I would assume, but how much state aid's really on the line here for these libraries?
You know, for some of them, it's negligible. Libraries are funded totally by taxpayer dollars. I would say, you know, majority of it is from local city and county dollars. So if you're talking about a larger library, the amount of state aid they receive is insignificant. I think my county library in North Shelby County has like a $1.8 million budget. They get about $50,000 in state aid. It's not a ton. So maybe they, you know, don't think it's significant. I think it's significant, but that's their choice. But now I will say some of these very small libraries that have maybe, say, a $300,000 budget, their state aid could be very significant. And they need to work. I mean, I would suggest to them that they just, their board simply says, hey, we adopt the guidelines and we're going to do our best to start implementing them. I don't think the guidelines are difficult. I think that some libraries maybe are interpreting them differently. Maybe they're just protesting. I don't know. I haven't kept up with every single individual library situation because I consider that a local issue. And, you know, the local libraries, you need to have good people on your library board. The boards are appointed, so you need to make sure that, you know, you have good people that are elected to your commission or your mayor or city council. They're appointing these board members because the local board members are the ones that adopt these guidelines. And so you've got to have good people there.
What has been the general reception to this, at least from your constituents? Because, I look at it and I think, wow, I mean, this is really going on in our state, obviously. It's just weird. But, like, you and I can't be alone here. But, yet, there's just – I got to think that there are more people who are kind of along our way of thinking, Representative, than there are out there. Now look.
Yeah, you don't want a book illustrating explicit sexual acts in the children's section. I mean, that's common sense. And there are a handful of those books that need to be moved to the adult section. I mean, I don't think that it's really as complicated as people want to make it. I think that some librarians just don't want to do it, and so they're overcomplicating the issue in order to just stand their ground. You know, the American Library Association, to their credit, our PLS board has withdrawn. But the American Library Association does not think that books should be segregated. They think that every person, regardless of age, should have the right to read every single book, and that children should have reading privacy, which means parents might not even know what the child is reading. And so a lot of these librarians are trained with this American Library Association philosophy. They believe in it. And so they're fighting their little battle. They're fighting back in that way. And so I think, to me, in some cases, they're making it more difficult than it is just because, you know, they're trying to stand their ground.
Well, last question, and we'll wrap it up on this, though. But some of it, like you say, they're standing their ground. How much of it is just they don't want to be told what to do? They're the experts.
Yes.
You guys are the pandering politicians, and you stay in your lane.
Yeah, and that's true. That is true. And let me tell you why. Because, and this is sort of a tactic of the left all over. It crosses all philosophies. You know, the educated elite left are smarter than we are. They're smarter. And they need to make these decisions for parents and for us regular folks, because we're not a professional librarian. We don't have a degree sponsored by the American Library Association. We don't have that expert knowledge. How dare we, as a parent or a community member, try to say what should be in a library? We're not capable of that. So the trained library needs to make all that decision for us. That's the mentality in some cases. Not all libraries are like that, and I'm not trying to speak about every library, but there are those that truly believe that. And that is what the American Library Association believes. That's what our Alabama Library Association believes. And our local boards, who are appointed to represent the people, need to know that, look, you're in charge. You can write these guidelines. You can include parents on committees. You do not have to listen. You're not beholden to your library director. Your library director works for you. You hire the library director. So the boards need to take responsibility and accountability for their communities, and they need to represent their communities and listen to their communities. And I just think it's going to be a process. It's going to be an evolution. And over time, I think all of this is going to settle down. It's just, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. And, you know, we need our State Library Director, Dr. Pat, to fully communicate to all our local libraries about these deadlines.
Right.
Because I do think she has communicated some information that's confusing.
Yeah. Representative, we got to leave it there. We're up against a hard break here, but thanks for taking time on your vacation to talk to us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. State Representative Susan Dubose there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mr. T.